thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Buffy, you maybe could open up to Matthew chapter 21. That's where we'll be reading from tonight, is Matthew chapter 21. Not a long reading, it's only going to be a couple of verses. Tonight. But before we read, we're going to pray first and foremost. Okay, so Father, we just thank Thee again tonight for the prayers that have already been said in this house, and we thank You for Your praises tonight, which we've sang to You, Lord. But Father, again, as we come around Your word another Sunday night, Father, we just would ask again that You would just guide and lead in this place tonight. Holy Spirit, we pray that You would move from seat to seat tonight. Oh, and just dwell upon me as I deliver tonight, Lord. And I know that it'll be nervous and stammery a wee bit, Lord, but Father, I just ask You would guide and You would guard and You would keep us all in this place tonight. Bless Your word, Lord, tonight as we gather around it. In Jesus' wonderful name we would ask it. Amen. Amen. Friends, Matthew chapter 21, and we're going to read from verse 9 just through to verse 11. Three wee verses here. 21 and 9 says this here. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitudes said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. And amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his precious word. Friends, as you know, over the years, I have been involved with youth work in the church here in Ballymoney. And from time to time, we would go away, take them away on a wee bus trip, maybe to some sports event or to some meeting that's on somewhere in the country. We've gone far and wide to most of the counties in the country that we live in. And on most occasions when we go away like that, there we like to, as you all know in Ballymoney here, we like our food. We always like to stop at McDonald's or somewhere like that there for something to eat on the way home or the way going. On one particular event, on one particular evening, we were in McDonald's, and it was shortly after the Craig family had came and started to come to our church, and the children started to tell the story about their father being involved in dogs and breeding dogs and stuff like that. And that reminded me of a story about a wee dog that a neighbour of ours, that happened to a neighbour of ours, their wee dog. And it was their daughter's birthday party was coming up on one Saturday, and they were having to invite all the children from the class, but they were worried about one wee boy in particular because he was a bad wee rip. There's no other way of putting it. He was a bad wee rip, and they were worried about it, but they invited him along anyway. The party started, and the party passed off with relative peace and calm. He burst a few balloons, and he pulled down a few streamers, but in the whole, he behaved not too bad. Everybody went home, and then the family started to look for a wee Chihuahua dog that they had, and the Chihuahua dog was missing. So they believed our friend who had been at the party was partly responsible or wholly responsible for what had happened to the wee dog. So they rang the family, and indeed, it turned out that he had done something to the wee dog. He had put it into the freezer in the family home. I kid you not. And so they went and got the wee dog out. It was still alive. It was okay, but it was cold. It was far on. So they rang the vet. They asked the vet, what are we going to do here? The vet says, well, I'll have to come and give it an injection. But until I get there, you're going to have to try and heat it up, obviously, and try and manipulate it, and manipulate its fur, and manipulate its skin, and get heat into the wee dog. At this point in my story, as I was telling it to all the young people round about, I then became aware that most of the people in McDonald's had stopped eating and were listening to my story that I was telling about the wee dog. There was people in mid-bite. There was a woman standing on her mop like this here, listening. She should have been mopping the floor. She was... I thought, oh my goodness, well, I'll continue on anyway. The vet then advised if they had anything in the house that had warm substances, that had warm feelings to it. A couple of the things the vet asked was, number one was whiskey. I know nobody in here would have whiskey in their house, so that wasn't what happened. And she was the same. Oh, no, we haven't got whiskey in the house. He says, if you had a wee drop of whiskey to rub it into the dog, it would have helped. Just bring heat to the dog quickly. If you haven't that, have you any petrol? She says, what would put petrol on it? He says, you rub petrol into it, there's warm sensation from petrol, and that'll help the wee dog. Now, I know what you're thinking. You could have lit the match and the wee dog would have heat it up brave and quick, but that wouldn't have been good. So, sure enough, they went and got a wee bit of petrol and they started to rub it into the dog's fur, got it wrapped up in a wee blanket and rubbed and rubbed and rubbed. And sure enough, the wee dog started to come round. And he come round. And then all of a sudden, he just started to run through the house. We had a wee dog many years ago, Sam, and she would have done that. She would have ran from the bedroom up through the living room into the kitchen, turned and back down the hall up into the bedroom. We called it the zoomies. Well, this wee dog was doing the zoomies. And then all of a sudden, just like that, it came over. And Susie was sitting beside me and she leaned forward and the tears was in her eyes. And she says, Mark, did it die? And I says, no, Susie, it ran out of petrol. Now, there was a collective groan in the restaurant as well. And as the wee woman started to mop the floor, she pushed the mop into my shins like that there. And all. My point for my full wee story is at that moment in time, the penny had dropped that it was a full story and it wasn't the truth at all. And that happens with us, friends, and all walks of life. Sometimes people try to tell us something, they try to get a point across, and sometimes you're telling somebody something to somebody, and you know that when you're trying to get through your message to them, that they're looking at you with a look of, I don't actually know what you're trying to say to me. And then all of a sudden, the penny drops. And that simply tonight is the title for what I'm going to say tonight or what I want to speak tonight. I want to ask this question to all of you tonight, but especially to those who may be outside of Christ. Has the penny dropped? You see, friends, in the Bible, for some, the penny has dropped. For others, not so, because they ask the question, who is Jesus? Even when they have witnessed mighty and marvellous works, they're still asking who this man was. In our reading tonight, we read of a triumphant entry. That's the story, Palm Sunday. We see this triumphant entry where people are shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They're proclaiming Jesus. And then when we read on in verse 10, they come up with this question. Who is this? Who is this? Thankfully, there are other people in the Bible we can look to where the penny had dropped. We think of number one, John the Baptist. Zacharias and Elizabeth was the parents in old age. And we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 15, that the child was filled with the Holy Spirit even from the womb. So John the Baptist, even in the womb, realized who Jesus was. And we can say that even in the womb, the penny had dropped. Because we read about it later when Mary went to visit Elizabeth in chapter 1, verses 39-41. We read that the babe leapt in her womb. Now, as a gentleman, I don't know what it's like to carry a child, but you ladies in here tonight who are mothers will know what it is like to have that living being inside your body. I remember when Yvonne was pregnant with her children back in the day, and whenever it was getting close to the birth, you would have seen little movements in her tummy where the child was moving about. And I always thought it fascinating because you could even have got a wee felt tip pen and you could almost have drew out round a wee footprint or something, because Yvonne would have complained, "Oh, whatever way that wind's lying tonight, it's hurting me." You just know what I mean, ladies. Us men can't even imagine what that would have been like. And yet we see here that the babe leapt in the wound. I would even suggest that possibly John the Baptist in the womb could have leapt so high that it could have lifted Elizabeth maybe clean off her feet. It's just a thought. But John the Baptist, even as not even born, still in the womb, knew Jesus. The penny had dropped. Now, we could go down a route tonight, which I'm not going to do, about talking about abortion and things like that there. That would make it clear to me about how a child can feel in the womb. And that would answer that question without going down that route tonight, and I'm not. But then there was the disciples. They had seen many great things. They had seen healings. They had seen blind men and women receiving their sight. They had seen deaf men and women having their hearing brought back. They had seen the lame walking. They had seen men lifting their bed and running and leaping and praising God. They had seen miracles, the feeding of the 4,000 and the 5,000. They had seen the raising of the dead. And they even seen demons and saw that demons were subject to him. But still, on occasions, they appeared at times to not really fully know who he was. And that was quite remarkable, quite unbelievable, really. But that was the case. The penny hadn't dropped on some occasions and with some people. We see that Jesus travelled through regions in the Bible. He travelled to various different regions where people followed him around. They were wanting to learn and they were wanting to know about Jesus. But there were others that asked him to leave. They didn't want him in their district. He wasn't wanted, including his own town, his hometown of Nazareth. And we read about that in Mark chapter 6. They didn't want Jesus around them. They didn't want to know anything about him. But the other ones, the penny had dropped. We need this man in our town. We need this man in our region. The penny had dropped. And of course, we can go on to crucifixion week. And of course, the people chose Barabbas over Jesus. Away with him. Away with him. The penny hadn't dropped. I spoke to Liam a couple of weeks ago and he reminded me about speaking about Joseph of Arimathea many years ago in the church. And he was another person I started to think about after speaking to Liam. Joseph of Arimathea, the penny had dropped with him. He knew who Jesus was. All the Gospels give an account of Joseph of Arimathea and we can build a picture about him. He was a rich man, he was a follower of Jesus, he was a council member, and he bought the fine linen to wrap Jesus in after they brought him down from the cross. He laid him in a tomb and he organised the funeral arrangements for Jesus after the crucifixion. Nicodemus as well became involved, and he had brought the myrrh and the spices that they anointed Christ's body with. When all around were losing their heads in the turmoil of the crucifixion week, Joseph of Arimathea knew exactly who Jesus was because the penny had dropped. That's all to do with God's word and what happened all those years ago. The question I want to ask tonight and here of all of us is, has the penny dropped with you and with me? Where are we all before a holy and almighty God tonight? I understand that many of us will believe in God, but has there ever been a commitment to Jesus in your life? I've done a wee bit of research here on this here. As far as, I don't know, because they didn't ask everybody, but according to researchers, there is 51% of the world's population believe in a God, a supreme being who created heaven and earth. They believe in it. In America, 83% of the population subscribe to being Christian or of a Christian background, but only 17% of the 83% are born again believers in Jesus Christ. So that's only 17% where the penny has dropped. 66% are not saved, but they believe in God. Perhaps maybe you are in here tonight and you have heard many messages about God. You have heard about Jesus. You know about salvation. You know about the way of salvation. You've heard it time after time. Maybe you've heard it here for weeks. Maybe you've heard it other places for weeks. But the penny hasn't dropped. You see, simply coming to church and simply following rules and regulations doesn't get us anywhere, friends, when it comes to the sin question, because it's all about Jesus and dealing with sin. And if you are saved in here tonight, has the penny really dropped with all of us as to who Jesus really is? Because in the Bible, we see these stories about men and women who've seen miracles and marvels beyond anything we maybe have seen in our lifetime. And yet, a penny never dropped. Oh, that we would all know who Jesus is. Oh, that we would all know what he can do for you and what he can do for me. And we've heard many testimonies over the last few days and weeks, and this morning even with Gwen up this morning and Andrew was up telling us different things. Gwen about going over there to Jerusalem and the raucous, was it 3,000 raucous, I think Gwen said it this morning, raining down in Jerusalem. You need to know a Jesus in a situation like that. You need to be sure that the penny has dropped, that you know your Saviour and your Master and your friend. Perhaps maybe you're in here tonight and you're what I would call teetering on the brink. You know what teetering is, don't you? I asked this question of a few people on the way in tonight. And I'm going to take you to Barry's. It's still Barry's in my eyes. I know it's a new name now, but it's still Barry's. And back in the day when you went into Barry's, there was a machine not far inside the door, and it was called Penny Falls. I don't know if any of you... Normally what happened when you went into Barry's, you sort of walked past it, and you seen this pile of pennies teetering on the edge. And you would have thought to yourself, I might be able to get this. And you went in around your pockets looking for... And you got yourself three or four pennies, and you tried your best. There was these two shelves of things going back and forward, and you put the penny in and it went down the nails and it landed and it pushed into the pile of pennies, but it never fell. It just stayed there teetering on the edge. I can tell by your faces you have played this, haven't you? I'm not going to call you out for gambling or anything like that there, so don't worry, but I can, you have all done it. And then you see it gets you sucked in a wee bit, because then you go, you look, you have 50p in your bag, go and get 50 pennies, and there you are, you're putting them in, and they just keep sliding, and they keep sliding, and you just teeter on the edge. And then, of course, the next thing you do, you think, I'm getting this thing a dunt here, like this, yeah? Are there any dunters in the meeting tonight? I think there is, oh yes. And then there would have been an alarm went off and you had to walk away, like that, you know. And then there was three or four security guards came around, and then you come back alone eating a bit of candy floss like this here, thinking, aye, right enough, that's bad, people doing that there, you know. You walked on. A full wee story. But are you teetering on the brink tonight? Because teetering on the brink, friends, doesn't get you into heaven. We, you, me, need that commitment to accept Jesus into your heart. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God and prayer. We're going to be singing that in a minute or two. What a friend we have in Jesus, friends. I said before about the regions. Some regions didn't like Jesus. Others were happy for him to come. Friends, Jesus is passing this way tonight. He's coming through this region tonight. And you're here, and if you're outside of Christ, Jesus is passing this region. Are you going to invite him to stay here in your life? Or are you going to tell him to move on? Because the region I'm talking about now is your heart. The region of your heart, the region of your soul, because that's what Jesus is interested in. Your heart and your soul. It's a region tonight. There's a battle raging for your heart and your soul. And he's passing through that region tonight. You're not here by chance, friend. Not by chance at all. This is by divine appointment tonight. And you have an opportunity tonight to stop teetering on the brink. To stop teetering on the edge. I wished, a poor word, but I wished I could dunt you over the line, but I can't. Because it's only through the convicting of the Holy Spirit that will draw you to a holy God. If I could drag you over the line, I would, but I can't. All I can do is present this as best as I can through my stumbling lips. Oh, dear friend, if you're teetering tonight, it's time to fall over the edge into the arms of a Saviour. Jesus is passing through the region of your heart tonight. Oh, my prayer, and I'm sure the prayer of anyone in here tonight who is saved and knows Jesus, would be that you would bid him stay in your heart. Because that decision will be made. You may think that, oh, well, I'll do to next week, or I'll do to next month, or I'll do to next year. The decision is here and now. Do you rather go to accept him, or you're going to ask him? Just like the people of Nazareth and like the people of other regions in the Bible. Move on, please. Move on, please. Oh, I pray tonight the penny will drop in your life and that you will come to know that you need Jesus in your own heart, your own life. Because it's the only life, friends. Amen. Those of you who are saved, I'll know. It's the only way. It's the only life. For all those, if you've done it, the penny has dropped in your life at a at a certain point and at a certain time, the Holy Spirit spoke and that penny just dropped and you realised and you bowed the knee and you asked Jesus into your heart. Oh, dear soul, tonight is the night for the penny to drop and to accept Jesus into your heart. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the girls and Noah and Declan to come back. And maybe Wesley, would you close again in prayer? Would that be okay? Is that all right? I'll come down. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.